It's good to see you, and it's good to be back at Snails at 6. Let me just pray, just as we have a think about this parable of the shrewd manager that Jesus has shared with us through the Word tonight. Father God, thank you so much that you sent Jesus to earth and that he spoke all kinds of different teachings and that then Luke recorded them and that we can read Jesus' teachings today. Father, help us as we look at this parable of the shrewd manager, help us to see what you want us to see in it tonight. Help us to uncover the important things that Jesus is trying to say to us through it. And I pray that your Holy Spirit would enable us to those purposes. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Before we look at the passage, a couple of weeks ago I arrived at work in Mount Hagen to the MAF base. And the first thing I normally do is I check out the flight program for the day. Sometimes people pay a whole lot of money to buy the whole airplane to do a job. The PNG government's been doing this lately. They've been chartering the aircraft to fly food relief supplies into drought-affected areas. But that's quite expensive. More often, people pay for the much more affordable individual seat fares. And then MAF take on the responsibility of stringing together a whole lot of seat fares to pay for the large expense of operating our aircraft. So I already knew before I came to work what the deal was with this day. The whole program had been structured around a high-value booking, which was to pick up a couple of people, which I think are in a picture. There they are. There's Doug and Amy coming in from an international flight to Daru, and I was going to connect with them there and take them to the place where they live and work. It's a little remote village called Whippim in the bush. And that was kind of the high-value thing that I was going to do that day. But I was a bit disappointed because I looked at the flight program and there wasn't anywhere near enough other bookings confirmed through my day to help me meet the budgeted figure that was required of me. I didn't have enough individual seat fares to pay for the flight, or I was thousands and thousands of dollars short. So what should I do? On the one hand, should I cancel the flight and wait for more bookings to turn up before we did it? But of course, that would leave Doug and Amy stranded in Daru, probably for at least a week, maybe more than a week. Is that kind of making money my master rather than God? Or should I go ahead and just do the flight? Or is that not a trustworthy kind of stewardship of the resource in my care? My life as a MAF pilot is filled with lots of little decisions like this, where I'm trying to balance using the resource in my care in a trustworthy way, but also being wise about how I do that and being shrewd about it, if you like. My life outside of MAF is similar to that. My life as a father and a husband and all the other aspects of my life. And maybe you notice the same thing. We're making constant decisions, lots of little decisions about how we use the resources that we have available to us, aren't we? Well, I think in this passage, Jesus is trying to help us get the correct perspective when we're making decisions like that. Decisions about how to use and spend our worldly resources. So Jesus has been traveling around and teaching previous to this in the Gospel of Luke. Crowds of people following him around and listening to what he has to say. And just before this story, Jesus has been teaching in parables, and there's three just before this story. The parable of the lost sheep. Have you heard that one before? Parable of the lost coin. Both stories where Jesus is painting a picture of people being precious and valuable to God. And of God actively seeking out people who have lost their way and bringing them back into his care. I love those two, the sheep and the coin, because the sheep that's lost is, you know, a stupid animal, and the coin is not even an animal. That's what we're pictured as, and God is actively pictured as seeking to bring them back into his care. Read them in your own time. Then Jesus goes on to another story where he pictures God as a father who has two sons, and a father who loves his openly rebellious younger son just as much as he loves his obedient and self-righteous older son. The older son didn't share in the father's grief when the young brother was lost. And the older son didn't share in his father's joy when the young brother returned. I don't think the older son knew all that much about the heart of his father. Yet the father is pictured as willing to pay a great cost to welcome his son back into the family, and he's willing to shame himself by begging the older brother to come in and enjoy the party. Jesus, I think, has been telling us about this God who is like a father who loves his children so recklessly that there's no cost too high to welcome us back into his care. And then Jesus goes on to talk about, well, Luke at least puts this story next, the parable of the shrewd manager. And Jesus creates this character that I don't really like. He's a manager, but not a very good one. Read verse 1 and 2 with me, or just listen. I don't mind if you don't read. It starts like this. Jesus told his disciples, "There was a rich man whose manager was accused of wasting his possessions." Not a great manager. "So he called him in and asked him, 'What is this I hear about you? Give an account of your management, because you cannot be manager any longer.'" The story kind of opens with this guy getting fired. He's also selfish. Have a look at verse 3 and 4. Jesus gives us a peek into the inner workings of this guy's mind as he goes on and thinks about what he's going to do now. "The manager said to himself, 'What shall I do now? My master is taking away my job. I'm not strong enough to dig, and I'm ashamed to beg. I know what I'll do so that when I lose my job here, people will welcome me into their houses.'" He's thinking entirely of himself. He's a selfish guy. But he's not stupid. He has been fired, but nobody is aware of this yet, except himself and the master. So while no one else knows the truth, he has this window of opportunity. But it's a fast closing window of opportunity. Kind of like this is my favorite Gary Larson cartoon. This cat has a fast closing window of opportunity, doesn't he? So the manager calls in the people who owe large debts to his master, and he massively reduces them. I've read that the total amount he's reduced them is equivalent to about 250 grand. And in doing so, the manager secures very good friends who are going to help him now that he's unemployed. Maybe a place to stay, maybe a future job. Simultaneously, the rich master, unknown to himself, has just gained an excellent reputation as being a gracious and extravagantly generous man. So when he finds out that the rich man, could get even, he could very rightly prosecute the manager and reinstate the debts owed to him, and of course destroy his very nice reputation. Or he could cut his losses, accept his new excellent business relationships, and kind of turn a blind eye to the illegal behavior of the manager, who gets called dishonest by Jesus now. And that's what he does. He even commends the manager for his cleverness. Kind of, he's a businessman. He realizes he's been outfoxed this time. And the story ends. So what's the deal? Is dishonesty kind of okay if you use it to make friends? Do you reckon that's what Jesus is saying? Should we aim to be like this thug manager who took his boss for a $250,000 ride? Should we abuse our privileges at work to make friends and then kind of bring him along to church? I think it's confusing, and I'm kind of glad that Jesus follows up the story with at least three teaching points. We'll go through them one by one. Let's read verse 9 together. Verse 9 says this, Jesus says this, I tell you, use worldly wealth to gain friends for yourselves, so that when it is gone, you'll be welcomed into eternal dwellings. Use worldly wealth to gain friends. I could do this every day in PNG with the caravan by allowing people to travel free on empty seats in the aircraft. Just a couple of weeks ago, I was training a guy. I think there's a picture of him. That's Mike. Me and Mike were flying around. And we delivered a whole bunch of mosquito nets to a place called Lake Copiago, fairly remote spot. And we took them out of the plane and we were empty and we were about to jump in and go when these guys, they always wait till the last minute because they like to kind of grab you when you're in a hurry and you might be distracted and say yes. These two guys came up and they wanted a free flight back to Tari. And they were asking us about this. So is giving out free flights a trustworthy use of the aircraft in my care in PNG? Let's park that question, we'll come back to it, and see what Jesus says next in verse 10 to 12. He says, "Whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much. And whoever is dishonest with very little will also be dishonest with much. So if you've not been trustworthy in handling worldly wealth, who will trust you with true riches? And if you have not been trustworthy with someone else's property, who will give you property of your own? Be trustworthy, even in small things," I think he's saying. Being trustworthy is really important. Whether it's a small matter or a big matter, whether it's a small $250,000 deal at business, at work, business deal, or whether it's a big true riches spiritual matter. Okay, so we shouldn't emulate the manager's dishonest dealings. Okay? Just in case someone goes and tries to rip off their boss by 250 grand this week. But let's unpack this trustworthy idea a little bit more. One of the things about this concept of being trustworthy is it involves two parties, doesn't it? Someone has to trust you with something, and then you have to be trustworthy with it. We all have worldly wealth in our possession, and according to Jesus, we're stewards of this wealth. God is the owner, and he's installed us as stewards for a period of time. That's a good concept to look into. If you haven't heard of it before, please do look into it. And I know Jordan would love if you came and asked him about it. But Jesus teaches this concept of stewardship. And in other places too, the parable of the talents or the tenants of the vineyard, there's other stories too that support this concept of stewardship. God is the owner and he's installed us as stewards for a period of time. But the important question that I want to ask now is, what would be considered a trustworthy use of the wealth that's been entrusted into my possession now? What would be considered a trustworthy use of the things in my possession? I want you to imagine that you own a Ferrari. You can move off that picture, Craig. If you imagine you owned a Ferrari and you lent it to me for a drive, which is a great idea, I bet you give me a firm word about precisely how you wanted me to take care of it. You might suggest a good route, which lets me turn a few gentle corners, maybe get up to 100 on the freeway. Maybe a route that doesn't have too many bumps, which might scratch the paintwork. So junction road, maybe not a good idea. Maybe suggest a time of day when the traffic's not too heavy. So if I took your Ferrari out to the state forest out the back of Lilydale and kind of got sideways around the corners and then maybe got a bit of air over the apex of a hill and glanced off a tree on the way down and recovered and brought it back to you, would you say my use of your Ferrari was trustworthy? Maybe not. So God owns this $2 million aeroplane. That's worth about, I reckon, as much as 10 Ferraris. And he loans it to me to use in PNG. And I go take it to remote, unimproved airstrips, and there are risks. We're not ignorant of the fact that this might not go well for this expensive aeroplane. Lots of landings, rough airstrips, heavy braking. In fact, I became intimately aware of the risk last year. This is probably my worst day so far as an MAF pilot. This is me that did this. You can see the wheel. What happened was it was very wet and there was kind of a crust on top of the airstrip, but underneath it was all goo. Goo's not very good at holding up aeroplanes. And so the wheel sunk down and a big prop strike. It cost us about $500,000, that incident, all up. There's more to the story, but I'm not going to tell you now. Actually, there was an elderly gentleman who was sick with a high fever and he was sitting next to a fire and he was in and out of consciousness and he rolled into the fire and got badly burned. And so I went to pick him up to take him to hospital. And I did all the right things. I got good information about the recent weather. I'd been there 2 weeks earlier and it seemed like there'd been more rain before the previous time. But just to be safe, I kind of reduced my kilos so that I wasn't quite so heavy going in there this time to mitigate the risk of getting bogged. Good, thorough risk assessment and mitigation of risks, and this still happened. So God lent me his aircraft. Am I being trustworthy, even flying it around in PNG? I think Jesus' third point kind of helps answer that question, and we can move off that picture so I don't feel too sad. Verse 13, Jesus says this, "No servant can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. For your stewardship to earn the label trustworthy or not depends on which master you are following." Who are you following? The Ferrari story helps us a bit here. Do you remember for what purpose you lent me your Ferrari? If you had lent it to me to test out the driving characteristics of a high-powered sports car in the off-road environment, my use of the car would have been entirely trustworthy, right? But you gave me specific instructions as to how you wanted me to use it, and I didn't follow them. Similarly, if you are following the instructions of some master other than the owner of your stuff, your wealth, your possessions, the way you use that wealth will be considered untrustworthy. If your master is money, you'll use money to make more money to that end. If your master is fame, you'll use your resources to that end. If your master is comfort, the list could go on. But if you listen to Jesus, you'll find out that all things belong to him and that we are his stewards. So we would do well to find out for what purpose he lent us his wealth. We would do well to find out for what purpose God lent us his wealth. Do you remember back to the beginning, the context of Jesus telling this story about the shrewd manager? The stories that came before. Because I think Jesus has been hammering out the message, actually. The parable of the lost sheep, God longs for everyone to return to him because he loves them. The parable of the lost coin, God longs for everyone to return to him because he loves them. The parable of the lost son, God longs for everyone to return to him because he loves them. God has this incredible heart for people who have lost their way and wandered away from his love and his care, his shelter, his goodness. An incredible heart for bringing people back to himself. For what purpose has God lent you his stuff? I've sort of half told three stories. Let's wrap them up a bit and test them against this idea of stewardship. MAF, as an organization, has prayerfully sought out the purpose for which God has given us aircraft, which is this: to see isolated communities physically and spiritually transformed in Jesus' name. My boss would be disappointed I had to read that, but I don't. To see isolated communities physically and spiritually transformed in Jesus' name. So is taking the caravan into the PNG bush, I think there's a three-picture slide, like Goobam on the left there, is taking the caravan there trustworthy stewardship? Yes, I think it is. Because we're using that resource for what is on God's heart, for the purpose he lent it to us. This picture is at Goobam. So while I was there, we were stressing about how to get the aircraft back out of there because it was so poor, the surface. So we asked the community if they could help us dig a drain around the edge of the airstrip to help the water drain away and hopefully firm up that lower part of the ground underneath the crust. And they got to it straight away, digging this trench by hand. It's about 1 metre wide, about 1 metre deep, heavy clay kind of based soil. Men, women and children all working at it together. In a couple of weeks, they dug the drain completely around this airstrip. It's 760 metres long. That's an awful lot of dirt to move by hand. They so appreciate the love which God extends to them by connecting them with an aircraft. They so appreciate it. Not that that's a test of whether or not it's good stewardship, but I think it's interesting just as God moves people to do this kind of thing where we go and provide an air link into communities. They so desperately appreciate it. And don't think they were just sitting around doing nothing and that they could just spend their time on this instead. Life is busy in the bush. There's lots to do. So yes, I think using the caravan for this purpose is trustworthy stewardship. Is refusing to take passengers for free at Lake Copiago trustworthy stewardship? Do you remember the story? It's down in the bottom right there. Me and Mike dropped mosquito nets. A couple of guys came up. They wanted a free flight. We had the space. If the guy who came up to us had an urgent medical condition, then I would have cancelled the rest of our program and we would have picked him up and taken him straight to hospital and figured out the money thing later. That's kind of a separate situation. It wasn't this guy's situation. Apart from that, generally, taking passengers for free, even if we have space left over, it kind of undermines our service. It creates conflict between the people who are paying and the people who get free flights. It very quickly messes up a service to a bush community. So it's not a trustworthy use of the resource. And I didn't take those guys that day. I did give them an option to call our base and arrange it properly, and I'd pick them up on the way back through, and they didn't take it. And the last one, the dilemma from right back at the beginning with Doug and Amy down in Daru connecting to their place in Whippim. What is the trustworthy stewardship in that situation? I don't have enough fares to even close to cover the whole cost of the flight going down to Daru and back. Doug does such great work. I love talking to Doug. He's a real true American guy, you know, and I can talk to him for 45 minutes and I don't think I say a word. He loves to talk, and he loves to talk about his ministry and what he does there. And he does a lot of work helping the church leadership function well there. He mediates disputes between the church, within the church, and between the church and other parties. And he spends hours and hours and hours and hours and hours of time talking to people about Jesus and how much he loves them, helping people understand grace, helping people break out of the religious mold of kind of doing stuff to earn God's favor, which isn't how it works, but teaching them that actually God came to us. God came to us to bring us back to himself. It doesn't depend on how good we are. He spends so much time talking to people and gently leads lots of people to faith, definitely in line with the purpose for which we've been given these aircraft to use in PNG. I can't afford to do flights like this very much, but because the whole service would fall over if we did that every day. But in this case, I did go and launch that program. I'm convinced, and I remain convinced, that God uses, he works in powerful ways through aircraft in PNG, strengthening his people because he loves them, and drawing people who don't know him yet to himself because he loves them. A whole bunch of people here at St. Alf's, and if you're not aware, you collectively as a church have decided to invest something of your worldly wealth into reaching out this arm of love to isolated people in PNG, which I am convinced must be considered a trustworthy use of the wealth that you manage. And I just want to say thank you, and I hope you're encouraged by that. And this morning I shared as well, as I come to St. Alf's, I see so many people involved in all kinds of different things, using their time and their possessions and their resource and their skills and their gifts to that purpose for what God's given them to you for. And I'm really encouraged by that. But I think Jesus is actually trying to challenge us in this passage, and I want to finish sharing that challenge that I think Jesus is giving to us. I want to challenge you to be like the shrewd manager. Don't be dishonest. Don't take your boss for a $250,000 ride. How many people are in the position of doing that tomorrow? Maybe some of you. But no, be like the shrewd manager and recognize that you have a fast closing window of opportunity. You have a fast closing window of opportunity. And I think, as we think about this throughout the week, I think that the challenge for us is questions like this. Can you expand your involvement in God's cause? Or do you need to spend some more time getting to know better what's on your master's heart by reading his word or praying? I'll put my hand up for that one. Is there a resource at your disposal which you're not yet using, that you could be using towards the purpose which is so much on God's heart? So be like the shrewd manager and take your opportunity. Let's pray. Thanks so much, Father God, that you're a loving Father and that you have brought us into your family and shown us your heart, and that we understand something of your kindness and goodness to us, especially in light of Jesus and the cross. Father God, help what's on your heart to get on our hearts. Help us to understand more fully that which is on your heart, and then help us to be bold and brave and use the resources you've equipped us with to that purpose. By your Holy Spirit, I ask that you would help us see the particular opportunities you're placing before us. And I pray that this week we'd be thinking about this and mulling over this concept of stewardship, and that you would be able to use us to even greater glory for yourself. And pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.